This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Good to be back behind the microphone. Actually, good to be back in the United States after almost 2 weeks in the Middle East. I'll talk more about our trip to Egypt and Jordan a little later. But first, I was out of the country, but not out of touch with D.C., as the GOP was putting the final touches on the tax reform bill. There is an increase in the FRC-inspired tax child tax credit, overall lower taxes on America's families, and the muzzle on churches and other nonprofits will be removed in the repeal of the Johnson Amendment. One of the lead co-sponsors of the repeal, Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson, is just stepping onto a plane to leave D.C., and I'm going to go right to him. He joins us. Mike, thanks for joining us this afternoon on Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you. It's a great day, and I hope there's not too much background noise for the next couple of minutes here.
No, I know a little bit about being on planes here in the last couple of days. I spent almost 2 days on a plane. But let's talk about this final language introduced today, this morning. And the repeal of the Johnson Amendment is complete. That's going on to the House floor. Increase in child tax credit, lower taxes on America's families. How does this package look to you in terms of the tax reform?
It looks really good. I think this is the delivery of a promise that all of us made to the American people that we would reduce taxes and dramatically reform our tax code. It's long overdue, as you know, been more than 30 years since we got this accomplished. And this is a big step. There's some great features in this bill. It's going to help every American family, and it's geared for the middle and working class, which is exactly what our priority should be. I think we're going to accomplish that.
Now, let's talk about the repeal of the Johnson Amendment. That was the 1954 amendment that Lyndon B. Johnson made to the tax code, which essentially has become a muzzle on churches and other nonprofits. That is going, there's a trigger in the bill that will remove that.
This is historic, Tony. It's been 60 years since LBJ put that in the code, and you're exactly right. It's had the effect of censoring and silencing the pulpit and people of faith over all those years. And this was a historic move today. I will give all the credit to Chairman Kevin Brady of the Ways and Means Committee. He brought a manager's amendment today, and among the things that he fixed was this. He's added it in. So there's a specific language. They have adopted whole cloth, our Free Speech and Fairness Act language that we filed earlier this year. It is now part of the tax reform package. It's going to be a great thing. It's going to unleash the voice of the church to speak to the important moral and social issues of the day again. And I think it could be a seismic thing for the whole country.
Now, Congressman Mike Johnson, I was having conversations with some of the GOP leadership while I was in Cairo and then later in Amman. There was some idea or move to restrict this simply to churches, but there was some constitutional issues with that, and so we are back to that original language. Address that issue of they were trying to narrowly craft it just to churches, but that would be opening it up to challenge.
It would, and, you know, as I had lots of discussions on the Hill this week about that, as you know, my background is I was a former religious liberty litigator for 20 years, and I did these cases. I tried to explain to leadership that would actually be counterproductive because, you know, it's an age-old rule in our federal jurisprudence. The government can't favor religion, can't show hostility towards religion either, which is what we see so often, but it can't favor religion. So if you singled out religious organizations and not the other types of charitable and nonprofit groups, it would be constitutionally problematic. So I'm grateful the leadership recognized that. Chairman Brady, in his wisdom, has decided to draft our original language that we filed in February in the standalone bill, the Free Speech and Fairness Act. It's now part of this tax package, and I think it's going to be a great thing for all of us.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Yes, it's me. I'm back behind the microphone. Our guest, Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson. He's on a plane working his way back to Louisiana. Mike, let me also address this issue of talking to members of the Senate. The Senate's going to push forward its own bill. This is going to end up in conference for the two chambers to work out the differences. The Senate in particular saying that they're considering a one-year delay for the cut in the corporate tax rate. And the stock market is responding in a negative way to this. Where do you think that aspect of this reform package is going to end up?
I think that's a terrible idea. I think that what we promised was real tax relief and immediately. I mean, I think that much of the gains in the stock market and the way the economy has been humming along right now is in reliance upon the fact that we're going to fulfill these promises we made on the campaign trail last year. The corporate tax rate is the highest in the industrialized world. It's 35% and higher, an effective level for most. This would, our plan is to bring it down to 20% and to do it now, immediately upon passage. And I think that would be a turbo boost to the economy. It will lead to the creation of more jobs and bigger paychecks for everyone. It's what we need right now. And delaying it for a year, I just don't think that's going to get the job done. I hope that cooler heads will prevail, and I hope we'll get our original plan done.
Now, Congressman Johnson, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is being driven by the CBO score, the Congressional Budget Office, which has a track record of being totally unreliable, suggesting that some of these cuts are going to cost too much, and that's forcing the GOP to take steps in this tax bill, which could actually jeopardize the overall health of the tax reform measure.
Well, it would, and I think that we are right to rely upon dynamic scoring and the fact that this will boost economic growth, and the growth is how we're going to climb out of the debt. The growth is how we're going to pay for all this. We get the economy humming. You know, we're currently hobbling along around 3% economic growth. When they did this back in the 80s, they got it over 7%. I mean, if we double our economic growth rate, it will mean all boats will rise, and these problems will solve themselves. And I think that we have a great reliance upon that, the free market and these principles. This is how we're going to fix the economy and put us back on the path we need to be on.
Well, as you go back, it's to the dynamic scoring to take into consideration the effects of these changes, and that's not what the CBO is looking at.
Right, exactly. And I, you know, the CBO has, as you said, a checkered past in being able to accurately predict things. I think we can rely upon the voices of the people in our districts. I mean, I talk to small business owners every day. I talk to the leaders of companies, and they tell us, Mike, if we can keep more of this and not send all of the revenue to Uncle Sam to squander in Washington and the swamp, we will expand product lines. We will add new businesses and more jobs. We'll be able to pay our people what they deserve. That's what we need in this economy, and we're going to make that happen if the House's health, tax reform plan is realized, and I think we're on the way to getting that done.
Now, I know, Mike, you got to go. The plane is fixing to take off, but one final question. Do you think the House and Senate will be able to work out their differences and settle upon a bill that, as you said, is real tax reform and has the desired impact of fueling our economy and bringing relief to families?
I'm very optimistic that we can, and the reason I say that is that this is different than health care reform and some of the other, you know, failed efforts, because everyone recognizes we must get this done. And I think that the Senate, I mean, ultimately it will fall at their feet. I think that they will get this over the line. Ultimately, probably it winds up in a conference committee where the differences are worked out, and we deliver this thing to the president's desk, and hopefully he can sign it before Christmas. It'd be a nice gift for the American people.
I think you're absolutely right. It would be a good thing to be under every tree. Mike Johnson,
right.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate you, Tony. Keep up the great work.
Safe travels. Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana's 4th Congressional District, that's up in Shreveport, just hopping on a plane to make his way back after a week in D.C. And I'm back on the ground. And coming up in just a bit, one of the reasons I wanted to get back was for tonight's big event in Baton Rouge. I'm in Baton Rouge. I got in early this morning. And tonight is the 32nd annual Caring to Love Gala. Now, Caring to Love is one of the state's largest and oldest pro-life ministries. And our keynote speaker tonight is none other than Fox News' Todd Starnes. And he'll be with me here. And we're actually on site at the Baton Rouge Hilton. He's going to be with me a little bit later here on Washington Watch. We'll talk about, while I was over in the Middle East encouraging government leaders there to protect religious liberty, here at home, the assault on religious liberty continues. Football coaches told they could not even bow their head during a prayer. Todd Starnes is going to be joining me to talk about that, and we'll also be taking your phone calls a little bit later here on Washington Watch. Hey, I want to go back to this Johnson Amendment for just a moment, because you've heard me say this a lot, but the resistance, the opposition, the way the left responds to these things gives you some indication of how significant they are. Here is a clip of Congressman Ron Kind of Wisconsin, a Democrat. He is on the House floor, and he's comparing the repealing of the Johnson Amendment, saying it's going to, as if it's going to create this conflict like the Sunni-Shia conflict in the Middle East. I mean, I can't even make this stuff up. Here's a clip of what he had to say this week on the House floor.
The teaching of moral lessons during religious service?
Sure.
The teaching of our children values?
Absolutely.
But of all the policy changes that are being attempted in this Republican tax bill, this one frightens me the most, because it has the potential of tearing the very fabric of our communities. Every Sunday morning when I go to my South Beaver Creek Lutheran Church in rural western Wisconsin with my family, I view that place as a sanctuary for my soul, an opportunity for me to commune and to congregate, get together with my fellow rural neighbors in fellowship, to check up on one another, see who's doing well, who might need some help, and to spend some time as a community and as a nation, regardless of political affiliation. Repealing the Johnson Amendment will politicize the pulpit. It will create civil war in the pews. It will establish Republican and Democratic churches and synagogues and mosques overnight. We all know it. We all know how tribal and how polarized our political system is today. We are self-segregating way too much already of who we're deciding to affiliate, what clubs we join, what family members we even like to hang out with these days, given our political affiliation. You politicize the pulpit. It's going to make the Sunni-Shia conflict in the Middle East look like a picnic. There will be conflict in the streets here overnight. And we're going to be driving the children of our families away from organized religion.
Yes, that is real. That is not from Saturday Night Live. Politicize the pulpit. I wonder if he had that conversation with Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton about how they have politicized the pulpit over the last 40 years. Look, what we're talking about here, we're talking about pastors, even some on the left, although the left is basically gone unchallenged in many of the things they've said. But I've defended liberal pastors who have challenged the policies of the George W. Bush administration on their war policy in Afghanistan. I think a pastor has a right, in that case I think he was wrong, but he has a right to take the scripture and teach his people the application of that scripture according to the issues of our day. You see, the reason the left is responding is because the scripture speaks so clearly about the issue of life, the sanctity of human life. It's created in the image of God. Does it matter what zip code it was conceived in? It is valuable and is to be protected. And the issue of marriage, the Bible speaks very clear, not just the Old Testament, the New. Jesus himself reminds people, the Bible speaks very clearly to the issue of gender and marriage. Is that the reason the left is responding? They don't want the pulpits of America to be able to teach Christians the Word of God and its application to the issues of our day. That is what Ron Kind and his kind are concerned about. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by my good friend Todd Starnes, who's a keynote speaker tonight at the 32nd Annual Gala of Caring to Love Ministries here in Baton Rouge. We're at the Baton Rouge Hilton broadcasting on site prior to tonight's event. So that's coming up, Todd Starnes, and your phone call. So don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers. In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Yes, I'm back. Good to be back behind the microphone. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, earlier in the last segment, I was talking about Ron Kind and his comments, a Democrat from Wisconsin. I said it was on the House floor. It wasn't on the House floor. It was in the Ways and Means Committee, so I stand corrected. Not that it makes much difference. He still said it. Okay. You know, I was over in, and I'm going to talk about this probably over the next couple of weeks because there's so much to unpack from my trip to Egypt. It was a private, unofficial trip with about 10 evangelical leaders, Joel Rosenberg kind of heading it up and leading it. And we met with the president of Egypt, President El-Sisi. It was supposed to be like a one-hour meeting, lasted 3 hours, discussing a lot of issues, terrorism in the region, but primarily zeroing in on human rights and religious freedom. Same conversation in Jordan. We spent 3 days in Jordan, briefed by all the top cabinet ministers, and concluded with a lunch with the king, King Abdullah, and we discussed again with him the whole issue of terrorism, discussed with him the refugee crisis, and I'm going to talk more about that because it's amazing what they're doing over there, but also talking about religious freedom. We had a meeting with all of the evangelical pastors in the country, and there's some real issues there. Good signs of trends in the right direction, but still issues. And same thing in Egypt. But we've got issues here at home. I was catching up on some stuff in Georgia. A school district there has ordered a football coach to stop praying with his team before and after a game, and even from telling him he can't even bow his head. This all coming from a threatening letter from, yes, you guessed it, the Freedom From Religion Foundation. writing about that. Of course, I keep up with him wherever I am in the world because I know he has his finger on the pulse of religious freedom in America, is our good friend Dr. Todd Starnes, who is here at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Baton Rouge for the Caring to Love Ministries Gala. Todd, welcome.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tony. This is a lot of fun. This is your neck of the woods.
It is, and you can see I'm dressed as if I'm in my neck of the woods.
Yeah, I'm dressed like I should be back in Brooklyn. So I'm going to have to take off the tie and work on that, get some hip waders or something.
Yeah, I'm good. I got the cowboy boots, jeans, but I will be in suit and tie for tonight's event. Hey, again, welcome to Baton Rouge. Glad to have you here for the annual Celebrate Life Banquet and Gala with Caring to Love Ministries keynote speaker tonight. Give us a what are you going to talk about tonight?
Well, we're going to talk about where we are in the country right now on that issue, the pro-life issue. I just got finished reading the collection of speeches from Antonin Scalia. His son had those compiled, and I was reading some of those speeches he delivered on pro-life on the plane ride down here. So I'm going to share a few thoughts from that, and we're going to talk about some of the big issues that have been in the news lately regarding the pro-life pro-life issue. And quite frankly, the shooting in Texas, the massacre at that Baptist church in Texas, there's a pro-life story coming out of that. There had been a lot of concern. People were wondering, well, what about the woman who was pregnant, expecting a child? Or would they include that child in the death count? And in fact, they did. The state of Texas did that. It was quite a poignant story. We're going to tell the story about that woman during tonight's speech.
Well, I, obviously, watching from that, I woke up to that news in Amman, Jordan. Of course, it's come out. This guy was an atheist. Hatred toward the church, hatred toward Christians. Isn't that being fomented by groups like this Freedom From Religion, that every public representation of Christianity is now open to attack?
Well, I think there's an argument to be made that that is the case. So the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they want to bully Christians into silence and submission, and they intentionally target small towns and small communities. And you know, there's been a lot of talk over the past couple of days about prayer and whether or not it's appropriate for our lawmakers to pray for the victims. And we've heard Democrats in the mainstream media and Hollywood criticize those who are praying for the victims. But I think people need to step back and understand that what happened in Texas is not God's fault. Quite frankly, it's the government's fault. The government screwed up, and they, for whatever reason, and I'm sure the investigations are underway in the Air Force, but they botched the handling of this guy's case, and he was able to get the weapons that he used to slaughter all those people. So again, I think you have to put things like that in perspective. But back to your question about the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they really are fomenting this hatred towards people of faith, and they're targeting, Tony, they're specifically targeting Christians. And I know they say right. They don't, but when you look at the wealth of the evidence.
And it's primarily in the South.
Primarily in the South, primarily small towns that either don't have the financial resources to fight the fight, or they just capitulate because they don't know their rights under the law.
Now, this latest case, what they do is they send these threatening letters, and what the school boards generally do in this case, in Georgia, this case is...
Coweta County.
The school board, capitulate, and they say, all right, we're not going to do this anymore. But that sends a message that somehow this public display of faith privately, but on a public stage, is somehow unacceptable in our society.
That's right. That's what they said. And the school board, what happened was they had a spy. The Freedom From Religion Foundation had a spy in the stands. They videotaped the coach praying along with his players. I think he had his hand on the shoulder of one of the football players. And that was the sin in the eyes of the atheist. So the school board put out an edict, and it was very similar to the edict that was handed down to Joe Kennedy, the coach out in Washington State, Bremerton. And they said, look, you cannot bow your head, you cannot take a knee, you cannot do anything that would give people the impression that you approve of the students' religious activity.
But you can take a knee when the national anthem is played.
Yes, you can. You can take a knee to disrespect America, but you cannot take a knee to pray to the Almighty.
Something is wrong with that picture.
It is very wrong.
Well, and we're going to talk about that again on the other side of this break. Todd Starnes, my guest. He's not going anywhere. I've got him for the next 24 hours. And so don't go anywhere. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. Had to think. I've been traveling here for a couple days. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Back in Baton Rouge for the 32nd annual Caring to Love Ministries, the annual Celebrate Life banquet in Gala. And our keynote speaker tonight is none other than Todd Starnes himself from FoxNews.com. And he joins me here on site at the Baton Rouge Hilton. Todd, now you've got your own daily radio program going now.
Yeah, that's right. Monday through Friday, noon to 3 Eastern, and we're on, I think, about 130 radio stations now, and we have a pretty good time.
You about to knock Rush Limbaugh off?
Oh yeah. That's exactly what we're going to do. Sweet mercy. No, I am mega dittos to Rush. Yeah, it was funny. Our thinking there is there are so many stations in cities that cannot carry Rush Limbaugh because, you know, another station carries Rush. So we want to be that alternative to those guys, and it seems to be working so far.
Well, I've been on a few times and actually been there to your studio high atop the building there at the Fox.
That's right, the Fox News Radio bunker.
Yeah, in fact, you're getting a new studio, aren't you?
That's the rumor. So they're actually doing that while I'm out of town. So I'm not quite sure what that's going to look like, but they've got the painters and the light people and all that kind of crazy stuff.
So they're painting your picture on the wall?
I hope so.
Okay.
I want a golden microphone like Rush has.
Well, you got to stick around a few more years to get that. All right, let's go back to this issue of this consistent. I would say that it's increasing in frequency. These small but vocal groups like Freedom From Religion Foundation that are, you know, continually firing off these letters, threatening lawsuits against these small towns, zeroing in a lot on churches, I'm sorry, not churches, but on schools, school boards, and occasionally city councils. Did you reach out for a comment from the superintendent here in Georgia regarding this latest threat?
Well, the school superintendent had released a statement to the local media, and that's, you know, again, they don't like talking to us because they know what's about to happen, you know, once they, you know, once we get wind that there's a story. But you're onto something. This is not just an isolated incident. I mean, we have reports from the Freedom From Religion Foundation weekly, sometimes two or three times a week, where they're going after small towns and communities and telling them they have to eradicate Christianity from the public marketplace. This goes back to something I wrote about in my book, The Deplorable's Guide, Tony. And I warned moms and dads that one of the key components of this fight for the culture, it's taking back your local school system. You know, public schools.
Right, public schools
have been turned into indoctrination centers for the left.
Absolutely.
And it's imperative that moms and dads take a stand because, you know, look, we had a report on our radio show yesterday. There's a study out that says millennials have no problem with socialism.
Yeah.
They're embracing socialism.
And where do they get those ideas?
They got it from the public school
system.
Absolutely.
And what we're seeing here on the religion front in our schools is secularism is a religion. I mean, it is being taught as if it is the national religion. And that means by these actions, religion, Christianity in particular, they don't dare really do this on Islam.
Exactly.
It's marginalized.
We did a story a couple of weeks ago from Moab, Utah. And
been there, beautiful place.
Beautiful, beautiful place, very conservative community.
Yes.
The local school district invited an LGBT pride group to come in and lead workshops in every English class. So every student in the school had to go through
this.
What
does that have to do with?
They were going to do a poetry slam, but they really didn't get around to slamming poetry. They did get around to indoctrinating the kids, and they were actually telling students in some of those classes, Tony, to separate themselves based on their religion and their sexual identity, literally separating the students into groups. We know this happened because I actually talked to the superintendent. He was glad to talk to me, and he said he confirmed every single thing, every single allegation. And I said, well, why didn't someone stop this? Why didn't a teacher stand up? And he says, I can't answer that question. I don't know.
Speaks to why parents need to be involved in what's happening in their schools. And one of the ways is to actually run for and be on school boards. Folks, we've talked about that before. And this is not, look, being a citizen in America is not a spectator sport. And certainly being a Christian in the 21st century is not a spectator sport. You got to be a participant. You got to be engaged. And I can't think of a better way to do that. Todd, when you look at these areas like Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, where the Freedom From Religion Foundation seems to target most of their anti-Christian efforts, what are people on the ground there saying? How are they responding? Now, I'm not talking about the government officials.
The local residents, they're fired up and they want to fight. And in many of these cases, the young people themselves have been the ones taking a stand and saying they're not going to back down. They're not going to let these out-of-town atheists dictate, you know, what they believe and how they worship God in public.
All right. Can you stick around for a little bit?
Sure.
All right.
Where's the gumbo, though?
Oh, well. You said
there's
going to be
gumbo.
I had it for lunch. I was going to bring you a cup.
What about the boudin?
Well, no boudin, but I do have some gumbo.
All right,
folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, Todd's going to stick around. We're going to take some phone calls regarding this attack on religious freedom in this country. Space, you're stripped of your First Amendment freedom. What are you going to do about it? Let's talk about it next here on Washington Watch. Don't
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, as I mentioned, next week I'm going to have a couple of segments, each program kind of talking about our experiences in Egypt and in Jordan, kind of running down the key aspects of where religious freedom stands in those countries and the humanitarian efforts. One of the things we did, and I mentioned this yesterday when I was joining Jerry Johnson from Amman, that we went to one of the UN refugee camps, and it was quite an amazing experience. And to see what Jordan is doing, there is... It's actually quite encouraging, but it's put a real strain on the country. The country population was about 8 million. They've taken in 1.2 or 1.4, depending on who you talk to, million refugees, a lot of folks coming in. So, I mean, almost a quarter of the population growing overnight. And so it's putting a real strain on things. We're going to talk about that. Good conversation with the king there. President of Egypt, some promising signs of moderation on Islam in those countries. It actually met with the top imam in Egypt. That was a really interesting conversation. We'll talk about that as well. But for now, we're talking about religious freedom in this country. Still sticking around here with us, I ask him to stay around. Todd Starnes, FoxNews.com. Author of Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again, still available in bookstores and online, Amazon.com or other places. Todd, I'm going to open up the phone lines. You good for taking a few phone calls?
Sure.
All right, folks, here's what I want to talk about. We're talking about this religious freedom. And it's really hard. I'll just tell you, it's hard for us to advocate to other governments to allow religious freedom when in our own country we've got local governments that are marginalizing the expression of faith by football coaches, by city council members, by others. Is it time we say enough is enough? I mean, the left, look, they're emboldened. They know that, my view is they thought they had this election in the bag, that Hillary Clinton was going to continue what Barack Obama did in basically extinguishing religious freedom in this country, and they lost. And they're in shock, and they are lashing out with everything that they have. It's time for us to stand up. What are we going to do about it? It's time to run for school boards. It's time to run for city councils. It's time to say enough is enough. 866-372-7234. What do you think we should do about this attack on our first freedom? Obviously not going away. It continues. 866-372-7234. Todd Starnes joining me, and you've got a question for Todd. He can jump in on it. Let's go back. Right before the break, we were talking about this, Todd. We're going to wait for a couple of phone calls here to come in. But while we're waiting, as you talk to the people on the ground, again, not talking about those who capitulate, but those the citizens, those whose freedoms are being stripped from them, what are they saying?
Well, they're wanting to fight back, and we saw this happen in the presidential election with the so-called deplorables, the silent majority. They stood up, they took a stand, and they said, you know what, enough is enough. It's really manifesting itself in these protests regarding the national anthem and the National Football League, where we've actually seen a lot of high school football teams coming out onto the field, waving the American flags, showing that they love America. So I think it's interesting. Something is definitely happening in this generation coming up after the millennials. And it's really fascinating for me, and quite frankly encouraging for me as a writer to be able to tell those kinds of stories. Tony, over the weekend, we were holding my annual getaway at the Billy Graham Training Center. We had a couple of hundred folks from literally all over the country. And one of my special guests were Richard and Betty Ogard. They were in the news several years back. They had a wedding venue, and they refused to allow a gay couple to get married. And as a result, they had to shut down their business. They lost their business. They were fined. They had to pay $5,000. And we were able to tell their story. And the whole point of that was to let people know that the folks out there fighting these religious liberty battles, A, they didn't go out there looking for a fight.
Right. That's absolutely right.
And B, they're just regular, normal folks, just like, you know, the people that you and I go to church with, Tony.
Yeah. That's the issue here, because I'm often cautious about those who have what I call a Jesus chip on their shoulder looking for a confrontation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people simply wanting to live their lives, exercise their faith, and they're being penalized for that. All right, let's take a couple of phone calls here, Todd. Let's go to Oklahoma where Ken is on the line. Ken, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. What a privilege to be on the air with two great men.
Hi, Ken.
Great.
Well, thank you, Ken.
I went to Tuesday night. I went to the first grade Thanksgiving program at a local public school. About 100 first graders up there singing hymns, recognizing the providence of God in the founding of our country, or at least in protecting the pilgrims when they got here and providing for them, thanking Jesus for being what he is in the lives of these kids. I was amazed. This was a public school. So the first thing I did, and I think we all need to do this, is I sent an email to the principal and to the music teacher and to the first grade teacher and said, thank you. I'm encouraged that you did this, and I am behind you. If anybody calls you out on this, you tell them to come see me.
Excellent. You know, that's often overlooked, isn't it, Todd?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's going on out there, and we need to support those people rather than just stand by and lament the news. We should be sending them our support and praying
for
them.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ken. Great idea. In fact, that reminds me, a couple years ago I was shopping. I don't do this often now. I do most of my shopping online, but I ventured out at Christmas time into the mall and went to Dillard's, and they were playing Christmas music. I mean, real Christmas music. They had the old Christmas carols. They had the religious music. And I said, wow, is this really happening? And so I went online to their website, and I sent them a message saying, you know what, I just want you to know I was in your store. And all of, this was a couple years ago, back when the whole war against Christmas was going on. And I said, I just want to thank you for the fact that you're not sanitizing Christmas and Christianity and the birth of Jesus.
And you know, that Ken brings up a really interesting point, too, is that these teachers, sometimes the teachers and the school principals are caught in the middle here. You know, mm-hmm. they're getting mm-hmm. orders from on high.
Right.
And it's good to know, for them to know, that the public and the moms and dads are behind them, you know, when they do things like this. If I were Ken, I wouldn't tell the Freedom from Religion Foundation what they're up to.
Yeah, don't give them the address.
Don't do that.
Ken, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Arkansas, where Richard is on the line. Richard, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, sir, Mr. Perkins. I just had a question, and then I'll hang up and listen to your response. As a person who represents the public faith and public voice of what is often referred to as the religious right in America, how do you reconcile your calls for public displays of faith with what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6? So I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thank you.
Now, I think, Richard, you still there or did you leave? Okay.
It's a drive-by.
I think he's probably referring to the fact that, you know, Jesus said, look, don't do your charitable deeds before men. You know, don't make a big display of your faith, you hypocrites. And I think the key word there is hypocrites. And that's what I go back to my statement about those who had a Jesus chip on their shoulder, that are simply wanting a confrontation or, you know, this public display. Look, our First Amendment and the founders, when they adopted the First Amendment, of course, it was a part of the culture here, was the freedom of religion. The ability to live your life according to your faith, not just within the four walls of the church or the four walls of your home, but to be able to live this in the marketplace, to live it in school, in entertainment, everywhere. And that's what we're talking about here, the ability to be who you are.
This is a constitutional issue. These are the rights we have. You know, Scalia, I referenced this new book, that is a collection of his speeches, and he was giving a speech, and I was sort of taken aback by his explanation of Roe v. Wade. He said someone had come up to him, and Scalia, of course, a Catholic, and said, thank you for standing on your faith. He goes, I wasn't standing on my faith. I was standing on the Constitution. This was a constitutional issue. Yes, he has a personal belief system, but he was regarding that as a constitutional issue.
Well, let's just stick with the coaches for a moment there. The coaches, and I was in Oklahoma a week before, well, I don't know when it was, a couple of weeks ago before I left, right before I left to go out of town. I was in Oklahoma, actually. I spoke up in Oklahoma and had dinner with one of my high school buddies, best friend from high school, who is one of the winningest football coaches in America. And this is his last year coaching. He coaches at Jinx High School right outside of Tulsa. And we were having this conversation about this. And, you know, he said, our school district is very conservative. You know, we pray, we can talk about these things. But, you know, a coach has a lot of influence over his students. And we're talking about not making a public display of being a hypocrite and praying all this. We're talking about just bowing your head and letting the students, in most cases, make the prayer, but a coach being a part of it. I mean, that's what's wrong with that?
Exactly. And the argument, and again, we've seen this played out, where high school football coaches led their team in taking a knee to protest America, and the mainstream media celebrated that, and they said, well, those coaches have a constitutional right. Well, if you've got a constitutional right to protest by taking a knee,
absolutely,
you ought to have a constitutional right to take a knee and pray to the Almighty.
You're listening to Washington Watch. Todd Starnes, my guest. We're taking your phone calls. Don't normally do this, but since I got such a great guest here, I want to take your calls, give you a chance to weigh in. And speaking of Oklahoma, we go to Matthew, who's on the line. Matthew, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. That's my definitely my home. And just want to tell you guys, thank you for what you're doing. And, you know, my question was, I'm actually a teacher. And I honestly just tell people, if they ask me a question, I just express myself. And I know I'm protecting the First Amendment. So I say what I want to say, and I have a really favorable response a lot of times from my students. And in fact, I don't think I can ever say I've ever had anybody get sideways with me about anything I've said. And anyway, my question was, I'm also a writer and I play music and whatnot, and I wanted to find out what your advice is as far as just writing, you know, starting off writing. And I really haven't done a whole lot of writing for the public, but I've been thinking about it lately, and where can I start?
Well, Todd Starnes is the expert author here. I'm going to let him address that, Matthew.
Matthew, that's a great question. It's a real easy thing to do. If you have a laptop and you have access to WordPress, I would suggest launching a blog and start writing down your thoughts and your comments and posting those things on your social networking pages, Facebook and Twitter, and perhaps even contacting your local newspaper. Maybe they'll publish a column or something of that nature. But really, it's as easy as taking the time to set up a website, and it doesn't have to be anything glamorous, no big bells and whistles. But if you have good content, Matthew, then people are going to come and they're going to want to read that.
And we need more voices out there.
We do.
Especially, let me just say thanks for not hiding your faith as a teacher, and thank you for being a teacher. I've talked about this many times. I think we need more Christians in the classroom. Now, I'm not encouraging parents to put their kids in the public schools. I think it's time to educate our kids, but I am so grateful there are Christians who go into the classroom. So, Matthew, thank you for that.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you guys. I'm honored to always to talk to you. Okay, you too.
All right, Matthew from Oklahoma. And look, we need to – Todd, I say this, I'm not ashamed of it, but I think we ought to look at the public schools as a mission field.
Absolutely, but at the same time, and I advocate for homeschooling and Christian schooling on my radio program, which broadcasts on mostly secular radio stations. I again, admire and respect those Christians that are still working in public education. But we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and I think parents have to realize it's their responsibility to train up their children.
That's right.
Not the public schools. All right. You know, I don't – the writing part, you know, I've written a couple of books, Todd, but I can't hold a candle to you and all of your writing. That's why I do radio. It's easier for me.
You're a good writer. I endorsed your last book.
I know
it
you
was
did.
Really
that's
good
how
book.
That's how kind of did so well. You endorsed it. Todd Starnes, thanks so much for joining us today.
Glad to do it, Tony. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, looking forward to being with you tonight here at the Caring to Love Ministries 32nd Annual Gala. Folks, it's great to be with you today as well. So good to be back in the country, back behind the microphone. And as I said, going to be downloading a lot over the next couple of weeks, sharing with you the highlights of our trip. Until next time, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.
That's 1-866-372-7234.